Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavananda Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam, verses 4.13.2. Hare Krishna, Keshavananda Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much for joining and giving your association, Prabhu. Please take over the call, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. We are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and I think this is 4th canto, 13th chapter, and 3rd verse.
Prabhu, it is on the 1st and 2nd verse, Prabhu. I'm not sure. Can anybody confirm?
Yeah, I don't know. So I think in the mail you said read 4.13.3, 4.13.2, but you said 4.13.3. I don't know.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, sorry about that, that Prabhuji informed me about like that, but he did not read the second verse, so can you please read?
Okay, so speak on third verse, that's it, or what? I can read both, maybe, okay, let's see.
Yeah, read both Prabhuji, because second one is very small.
Okay, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, Vidur Vacha. Kete Pracheta Sonama Kasya Patyani Suvrata Kasyan Vavaye Prakhyata Kutrava Satrama Sata. Translation is, Vidur inquired from Maitreya, a greatly advanced devotee, who were the Prachetas, to which family did they belong, and whose sons were they, and where did they perform the great sacrifice? So this is Vidur speaking. Actually, this was Vidur and Maitreya discussions going on, and within and in the Vidur Maitreya discussions, there was an incidence of Dhruva Maharaj, and Prabhupada writes the purport here. The great Narad sings in previous chapter, 3 verses in sacrificial arena of Prachetas, gave another impetus to Vidur to ask further questions. So Vidur is asking questions about Prachetas and the family now, because Narad Muni talked about it previously, but then there's a discussion, and in discussion it often happens, sometimes some topics comes up, then another topic. So Vidur suddenly remembered that he talked about Prachetas, and now he wanted to know more. And now the third verse is, can you just hold on, my computer got crashed. So now we are reading the third verse, where Vidur is continuing, and he says, Manne Mahabhagavatan Naradam Deva Darshanam Yena Prokta Kriya Yoga Paricharya Vidir Hare. Vidur continued, I know that the great sage Narada is the greatest of all devotees. He has compiled the Panchratri procedure of devotional service and has directly met the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada writes there are two different ways of approaching Supreme Lord. One is called Bhagavat Mark, on the way of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the other is called Panchratri Vidhi. Panchratri Vidhi is method of temple worship, and Bhagavat Vidhi system of 9 processes which begin with hearing and chanting. Krishna conscious movement accepts both processes. So very, very important verse, and I'll tell you why. It's very important for our institution also, at least at this point of time. And I'll tell you why. Krishna conscious movement accepts both processes. This is, I think, the most important line in this whole paragraph. Simultaneously, and thus enables one to make steady progress on the path of realization of Supreme Personality of Godhead. This Panchratri procedure was first introduced by great sage Narad, as referred to here by Vidur. Paricharya Vidur. Paricharya means Panchratri process. This Kriya Yoga. Kriya Yoga is devotional service. And Paricharya Vidhi, that is Panchratri process, from where this purport is coming along. Panchratri process of devotional service and is directly met. Kriya Yoga is actually Panchratri process, sorry. Kriya Yoga is a part of Panchratrik process, which is a procedure to devotional service, Kriya Yoga. And Paricharya Vidhi, Kriya Yoga, Paricharya Vidhi. That's the whole point by Panchratrik. And then, of course, along with that, there's a Bhagavat process, which these devotees were following, Pracheta especially. Okay, so I'll just speak on this. Let's see what's happening here. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shilaka Chakshimintam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurupenava. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namini Namaste Sarasati Deve Gurvani Pracharya Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Pascha Deshtarine. Okay, so we are there. Vidur inquired from Maitreya. Now, the whole point here is there's a question asked by Vidur. Actually, this is a discussion between Vidur. At large, third and fourth canto is a discussion between Vidur and Maitreya. And they have been talking about many topics. And devotees meet, they talk about Krishna and various topics. And they had been talking about Dhruva Maharaj, for a long time he had been with us. Conference call after conference call, Dhruva. Either he stick to us or we stick to him, whatever. But that was nice. But then now the topic is shifting and Vidur asks, okay, fine, that's very nice about Dhruva. And now I want to hear about Prachetas. In the second verse, the whole point is about hearing. A devotee wants to hear about Krishna and his devotees more and more and more and more. Why? Because in his heart he is always thinking about Krishna. So the person of whom you are thinking, you like to hear about him. That's all. That's very simple. If suppose I'm thinking of cricket, then I would like to discuss about cricket. I would like to hear about cricket and cricket and cricket. If I'm a businessman, I would like to discuss about money and policies, share markets, and I would like to hear about all those things. That's very natural. So Vidur and Maitreya, they were great devotees and they were always thinking of Krishna. And that's a trick of devotional service. If you always keep Krishna in your heart, you will automatically be inspired to discuss and to hear about him and his devotees. So here he asks this question, and now we go to third verse. And Vidur is speaking about Narad Muni now. Now Maitreya asked this question Vidur inquired about Prachetas, and he said, well, Narad Muni said about Prachetas previously something. Maitreya, you were speaking about Narad Muni speaking about Prachetas. So I want to hear about that. And then Vidur is glorifying Narad now. Because Narad Muni had been speaking about Prachetas that time. What he speaks about Narad? Now he first glorifies Narad. He remembers Narad is recounting the pastimes of Prachetas, and I want to hear more about Prachetas. So he simply remembers Narad because the pastimes of devotees also helps us to remember the pastimes of the people who recount those pastimes. That's how it goes. This is a Vedic tradition. In Vedic tradition, there are many suktas. Like suppose in Rig Veda, there is Lakshmi Sukta, there is Purusha Sukta, very famous. Or suppose if you read Brahma Samhita, right from the beginning. So generally we read from Chintamani, Prakara, Satma. So, but if you read right from the beginning, any Upanishad, any Samhita, it starts with an invocation. Just like in an ISKCON, East Upanishad, It starts with Om Purnamidam Purnamada. But of course, even before that, although in our ISKCON Upanishad, the Rishi is not mentioned directly. The Rishi is mentioned in later parts of the hymn of East Upanishad. But generally, if you read any Upanishads, traditional text, any Samhita or any Vedic Sukta, they initially mention the Rishi who spoke this Sukta. Like for example, Gayatri Mantra, which is coming from Vedas. So before you chant Gayatri Mantra, you have to speak this Gayatri Mantra. The Rishi is Vishwamitra, the Chanda is Anushtop or Trishtop, like that. You have to speak. Otherwise, if you don't invoke the Rishi of that mantra or of that Sukta or that hymn, what happens is the mantra or the hymn or Sukta, it doesn't reveal its meaning to you, because you need the blessings of people who actually reveal this mantra. These Rishis didn't compose these things, but they revealed the hymns or suktas or mantras to this world, and then they propagated it. That's why a particular Rishi. So the Rishi of Gayatri Mantra is Vishwamitra, or the Rishi of Purusha Sukta is ABCD, I don't know, but there's a Rishi, I don't know. And then Lakshmi Sukta has a Rishi, and then Agni Sukta has a Rishi. All these people have Rishis, all these Suktas have Rishis. So that's a system of, that's a tradition. So here the same thing is happening. Vidur, before he asked question about Prachetas, but at the same time, he is taking opportunity first to glorify Narad, who actually recounted the pastimes of Prachetas to various people in the history. And he might have recounted this to Maitreya also and other Rishis, and Maitreya knows that he recounted that, and the story of Prachetas have been coming along in through tradition, through Rishis, and then those Rishis, all those Rishis in the history, they might be quoting Narad, that it was Devarshi Narad who told all of us. He was preached about them in the entire world. And so the Rishi of the pastimes of Prachetas is Narad. That's the whole point I'm talking about. So that's why Vidur is actually glorifying Narad. And he's saying that Manne Mahabhagavatam, Narad Muni is Mahabhagavat. Now this is important. By saying Mahabhagavat, he is raising an important philosophical point here. Mahabhagavat means who is following a Bhagavat process. And Prabhupada brings it into purport that there are two ways of approaching Supreme Lord. One is Bhagavat process. And Narad Muni is expert in that Bhagavat process, and that is why he is called Mahabhagavat. He's not just called Bhagavat, who is following the Bhagavat process. He's not an ordinary devotee, he's a Mahabhagavat, he's an extraordinary devotee. Because he not only knows the process of Bhagavat Vidhi, he's also a teacher of Bhagavat Vidhi. That's the whole idea. So the question comes, what is Bhagavat Vidhi? Now that's the whole point there. So Narad Muni is first, number one, Narad Muni is expert in two things. Narad Muni is, first of all, in general, he's expert at worshipping the Supreme Lord. But he worships Supreme Lord in two ways. And he's expert in both the path. There are two paths of worshipping Supreme Lord. Two pure devotional paths. Now that's the whole point of worshipping Supreme. One is Bhagavad Vidhi, and one is, and the other is Panchratrik Vidhi. Panchratrik Vidhi, I'll just talk just a few minutes after. But let's first talk about Bhagavad Vidhi. Now Bhagavad Vidhi is actually so Bhagavad Vidhi is the path of let's say Shravanam and Kirtanam. Yeah, let's put it like that. It's a path of directly glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the whole point. And Srila Prabhupada, actually Srila Prabhupada is right. Prabhupada writes, Bhagavad Vidhi is a system of 9 processes which begins with hearing and chanting. Now, Bhagavad Vidhi, now what that means is Shravanam and Kirtanam. It's a process of Shravanam and Kirtanam. Does Bhagavad Vidhi has rules and regulations? Yes, of course, yes. It has rules and regulations. And we know nectar devotion has so many rules and regulations of chanting and hearing. Of course, one thing is that there is no rules and regulations in chanting and hearing. Mahaprabhu has said, Tatra arpita niyamate smarne nakala. There are no rules in chanting and hearing. There's no rule of time, place. Tatra arpita niyamataha smarne nakala. There's no rule of time, place, circumstance of chanting. You can chant any time, any place, any circumstance. But at the same time, then you have some rules. Then what are these rules? These rules of chanting and hearing are that you should chant and hear purely, that's all. There is no external rule to chant and hear. That's the whole point. There are no external rules. There is just one internal rule, and that is chanting and hearing should be accompanied, should be done offenselessly. That's the whole point. That's all. That's all. So when we say there are no rules in chanting and hearing, that means there is no external rules. Or let's say ritualistic word is not good, but let's say there are no external rules. You can chant anytime, any way, any circumstance, anyhow. That's all. But, of course, there is one internal rule that it should be without offenses. That's all. Otherwise, there's no rule. Or let's say there is one internal condition. There is no rule, but there is a condition to chant and hear. And you can safely say there is no rule to chant and hear. So that is Bhagavad Vidhi. Bhagavad Vidhi is, it also has, Bhagavad Vidhi is based on Shravanam and Kirtanam and Smaranam, these three things. The first line of Bhagavad Vidhi is Shravanam and Kirtanam. Now, what about other limbs of devotion? Now, actually, Prabhupada says here, Bhagavad Vidhi consists a system of 9 processes, of which begins with chanting and hearing. So here is some complication now, because if you say Bhagavad Vidhi, Shravanam, and Kirtanam, and Smaranam, then Prabhupada says 9 processes, and the 9 processes, Archana or deity worship is one of the 9 processes. So does deity worship comes in Bhagavad Vidhi? If you say yes, then there's a problem, and if you say no, then there's another problem. Because if you say deity worship comes in Bhagavad Vidhi, then deity worship has many rules, definitely. There are rules of cleanliness, there is rules of offering, there are so many rules. But then if you say no, Bhagavad Vidhi doesn't come in. Archana, deity worship doesn't come in Bhagavad Vidhi, then there's a problem. Then it contradicts Prabhupada. Prabhupada says Bhagavad Vidhi is a system of 9 process. Then what do you do? So, Prabhupada says Panchratrik Vidhi is a method of temple worship. You see the point in the line. Panchratrik Vidhi is a system of temple worship. And Bhagavad Vidhi is a system of 9 process, beginning with hearing and chanting. And in that 9 process, temple worship is included. Now, that's the whole point. Then what's happening? Is Panchratrik Vidhi a subset of Bhagavad Vidhi? But nobody says like that. Panchratrik Vidhi is a different process. Prabhupada says there are 2 processes, and then Bhagavad Vidhi. So when we say Archana, deity worship, as a part of Bhagavad Vidhi, That's a different thing. That is called deity worship. That is not temple worship. Now there's a difference. Now here there's a difference. Panchratrik Vidhi is temple worship. But when you talk about 9 processes of Bhagavad Vidhi has 9 processes, by the way, if anybody doesn't know. I presume everybody knows that. Everybody is a devotee. But it has 9 processes. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atma, Nivedanam. In that one is Archanam. Other processes you can see, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanevidanam, Vandanam. These are easy to understand. Praising the Lord, Vandanam, Sakhyam, becoming friends of the Lord. That means, working for the benefit of the Supreme Lord. And then and then Dasyam, serving the Lord by doing so many services, whatever He asks you. So that's okay. But what about Archanam? This is a problem there. Now here Archanam doesn't mean temple worship, it means deity worship. There's a difference now. You have to bring this difference. So Bhagavat Vidhi includes deity worship and not temple worship. And there's a difference. And what's the difference? The deity worship can be done anywhere. It can be done in a forest also. Deities can be made with sand. Deities can be made with 8 items. Bhagavat says that. It can be made with stone, it can be made with wood, it can be made with sand, it can be made with jewels, it can be a painting or a photograph, or it can be in your mind, it can be a metal. There are so many ways to make deities. It can be a picture, simple. Dhruva Maharaj. Actually, it comes in Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, when he went to forest, he was offering flowers and fruits to a deity, which he made himself in the forest out of mud. And he was worshipping that, if you read carefully, before he went into trance and whatever. So what was that? That was Bhagavat Vidhi. That was not Panchratrik system. That was not temple worship. It was Bhagavat Vidhi. He simply made a deity and he was offering whatever he could get. Flowers and fruits and some water. That's all, out of love and devotion. That's all. Finish. Along with Shravanam and Kirtanam. So that's what he was doing. And we see many, many recounts of many rishis who went to forest, and then so many Shaivites. They go to forest and then they make a shivling of sand, and then they sit there in the forest and they are chanting Om Namah Shivaya and then doing so many things. What was that? That's not temple worship. In Shaivites also, temple worship means Manashi temple. The detailed ritualistic things are going on. It's not a random thing. Archana in Bhagavad Vidhi is a very random thing. Just like, for example, we worship Shaligram. Now what about Shaligram? There are no rules and regulations to worship Shaligram. Just keep, and you just traditionally offer it little fruits and water whenever you have time. And Tulsi, that's all. So that Shaligram worship can be included in Bhagavad Vidhi, in Archana Vidhi. So basically, Bhagavad Vidhi is all about, basically it mostly focuses on Shravanam and Kirtanam, but it is all about emotions. That's all. That is Bhagavad Vidhi. It's all about emotions. It's all about bhava. It's all about love. It's all about it is dealing with internal emotions and rag and your cheshta bhakti, your attitude. That is Bhagavad Vidhi. Whether you're chanting, whether you're hearing, whether you're doing deity worship, whether you're doing vandana, whether you're doing sakhyam, whatever you are doing, that is this process, which is dealing with something internal. Now, you might be doing Archana Vidhi. You might be following the Archana limb of Bhagavad Vidhi. But the whole focus is not on external rules and regulations and rituals. The whole focus in Archana, in worship of deity, just as Dhruva was doing in the forest, the whole point was to focus on your emotions. What is happening with your emotions when you're worshipping that deity and you're offering? That is a system to culture your emotions, that's all. What is chanting and hearing? Tell me. What is chanting and hearing? It's not a process. It's not simply a machine-like process. Why we're chanting? Why we're chanting and hearing? That's the whole point. And if you really think about it, why we're chanting and hearing? Because chanting and hearing is part of Bhagavad Vidhi. We're chanting and hearing to, in one sentence, if in simple sentence, let's put it, we're chanting and hearing to please the Supreme Lord, that's all. So there's a component of attitude there. If you're simply chanting and hearing, and that whole concept of attitude is missing, and the whole concept of emotions. We are chanting and hearing to culture our emotions for the Supreme Lord. In fact, Vaishnavas are called the guardians of emotions, the guardians of devotion. That's what Vaishnavas are called. We devotees are guardians of devotion. We guard our emotions for the Supreme Lord. Emotions are gift of Supreme Lord. The emotions to serve the Supreme Lord. The pure emotions to actually re-establish a connection with the Supreme Lord. That emotions which are dealing with purity and sincerity and then attachment and then interest and then finally love and then beyond love, that is the most important. That is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. So if suppose, so let's say, suppose you go to Africa. Suppose you go to Africa. And in Africa, you are just going on the street and you read a banner. And there is a school. There is a school, and that school says, this is a school of Bhagavat Vidhi. You say, wow, let's go and check it out. What they're teaching. So you will go inside that school, and that school is saying, oh, this is a school of Bhagavat Vidhi. Oh, good, no, what they're teaching. So you will find some people chanting. You will find some people hearing Bhagavat. You will find some people doing some Shaligram puja in their room. And then you will also find some people praying. You will also find some people planning how to glorify the Supreme Lord. And you'll say, come on, this is nice. There's so many activities here. But then what is Bhagavad Vidhi? Is it chanting? Is it hearing? Is it praying? Is it worshipping Shaligram? What it is? So well, a teacher comes. And the teacher says, okay, you want to learn what is Bhagavad Vidhi? Sit. So you will tell him, well, I'm confused. There's so many things. So many things. People are doing so many things. What is Bhagavad Vidhi? It is chanting, it is hearing, it is praying, it is worshipping. What is that? Are we supposed to do all of them? So the teacher will say, well, you know what? To learn Bhagavad Vidhi, you have to learn how to look inside the heart, inside the soul. Whatever you see by your eyes, material eyes, that will not help you to learn Bhagavad Vidhi. Bhagavad Vidhi cannot be seen by this material eyes. It doesn't happen. Or this material tongue. That's why it is said, Sevon Mukhai Jevadav. So you cannot understand anything about Bhagavad Vidhi. Just by seeing. If you see, you will not be able to see anything. So then he will say, come on, what you're talking, I can't understand. You have to look inside the soul. If you see, you cannot see. I can't understand anything. Is it a mystical process? So the teacher says, well, Bhagavad Vidhi is for Paramahamsas. It is for people who have evolved in consciousness, who can see beyond what is seen, who can see the attitude and the emotions which people are experiencing behind the chanting, hearing, worshipping, Shaligram, or praying. Bhagavad Vidhi is all to do with the service attitude and emotions. These two words are very important, attitude and emotions. And attitude means the thoughts, and emotions means feelings. That's the whole point there. So that you have to look, and then you will understand what is Bhagavad Vidhi. It's a path of grace, it's a path of mercy, it's a path of love. If you are unable to see that, then you can be in this school and you will never learn anything. You'll be deceived. That's all. You'll be deceived. Nothing more than that. So then that person asks, come on, I can't understand anything. What are you talking? What I'm supposed to do, tell me. Practically what I'm supposed to do. Should I start chanting? Should I start praying? Should I start hearing? Should I start worshipping Shaligram? Please make me understand. So that the teacher says, well, the whole point is, all these people, you see these people hearing katha, you see these people chanting, you see this person worshipping Shaligram, you see this person praying, actually, they're all doing the same thing. But for you, it is different. So then the student asks, how they are doing the same thing? Well, they are trying to culture their emotions in their heart for Krishna. Now somebody is trying to do through chanting, somebody is trying to do through hearing, somebody is trying to do through bandhana, somebody is through sakya, through dasya, through planning, through Shaligram worship. But they are doing the same thing, that's all. That is the point there. Like for example, suppose if you go to a company and in the company the boss is sitting in the office and he's doing something. And the employee he is doing something else. And the cook, he's making everything food for the people. And the plumber, he's actually trying to mend the building. And the sweeper, he's cleaning the floor. So you will say, come on, so many people are doing so many things. Well, the boss will say, no, everybody is doing the same thing. Everybody is trying to promote the company in his own way. That's all. That's the whole point. And that is a common vision which everybody has in this corporate, in this office. And everybody understands this vision, and the vision is to promote the company. And that's how we remain together, although we are doing so many things. The vision is one, the activities are different. That's the whole point. So Bhagavad Gita is all about vision and not about activities. And the vision is focused on attitude, service attitude, and emotions, both of them. Attitude first and then emotions. Our vision is one. Activities might look different. He's chanting. So when he's chanting, that person is chanting, chanting is interesting. He likes chanting. So he's chanting and he's trying to make his heart pure and actually nurture his emotions. For this person, he's hearing katha. He likes to do that. And he's hearing, and by hearing, he's actually nourishing his emotions. So everybody is trying to do some internal work. Bhagavad Vidhi has to do with internal work. This is one thing. It has to do with internal thing. It's nothing external. That has to be understood. Everything external which is happening in Bhagavad Vidhi, chanting, hearing, including chanting, hearing, it's all to support that internal elevation and internal consciousness and purify it. That is Krishna consciousness. That is the essence and the secret of Bhagavad Vidhi. If you don't understand that, then you have missed the whole point. So, in fact, okay. Now, but there's a problem there. And the problem is, okay, you say that the Bhagavad Vidhi is all about culturing internal attitude and emotions, but well, the student asks, okay, my dear teacher, I don't understand any damn thing about emotions now. I even don't have service attitude. So what to do? So then what to do? Okay. Bhagavad Gita is all about nourishing emotions, but I don't have emotions. And you can't force emotions in me. The student says to teacher, I don't have emotions, what to do? So I can't cook up emotions. I can't bring artificial emotions. I mean to say, a girl can fall in love with a boy and then you force the girl, no, you should not love him, you should love that boy. She can't help. She's fallen in love, she's got emotions for him. What she can do? It comes itself. Emotions, you can't construct emotions. Some people can do actors and dramatists. But those are artificial, everybody knows that. Those are not real. So until they are on the stage, they have, and then they are lost. So till that time, okay, so I don't have emotions. So what you are saying, Bhagavad Gita is all about nourishing emotions, I don't have. Okay, you are saying Bhagavad Gita is all about purifying your attitude, service attitude. I don't have attitude. What to say, I don't understand anything, so what to do? So then the teacher is, okay, so then now you have to go to another school. And that school is, so if you go straight, and if you cross the street, on the next street you will get another school. And the name of the school is Pancharatrik Vedi. You go there. You don't come here now. You first go there. And then learn there and then come here. So then he walks out of the school and he goes and he crosses the street. He tries to find the school. He doesn't find. But then finally he sees a banner. Pancharatrik Vedi. This is another school. Good. And he goes inside and then he enters, he sees a big temple. And he goes in the temple and there are bells and there is smoke, there is incense and so many people are doing, some people are cleaning floor and some people are actually paying obeisances, chanting mantras, and there's a deity and everybody is following a strict procedure there. And many rules and regulations, external ritualistic rules and regulations. For him it was like rituals, isn't it? So there's a dress code, and there's a tilaks on specific, people have put tilaks, people are chanting specific mantras at a specific time, and then the rules, how to sit in front of deities, and how to behave in the temple, and as soon as you temple, you pay obeisances. You ring the bell when you enter the temple, when you go and pay obeisances to deities. There's a system of offering obeisances to the deities. So many rules. And when he goes in the temple, he sees so many people following rules, and the rules were written on the wall. You have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. There were 64 rules there written. And he was saying, oh my God. But he was impressed, actually. He was impressed. So there a teacher comes and he says, okay, welcome to our school. And that student says, well, I had been to, so that teacher says to student, from where are you coming, who are you? So he said, well, I've been to that school, Bhagavat Vidhi, which was around the corner. And now I've come to your school. So I talked to the teacher, and the teacher said, you're not qualified yet to enter this school. First you go in that school, Pancharatrik Vidhi, so I've come to you. So that teacher says, yeah, okay, good. So that's my advice. So that teacher says, okay, well, now you're in this school. So what do you want? So the student says, well, I've come to learn here and to see what's happening around. So the teacher says, okay, fine, yeah, you can come. So that boy says, well, what's the difference between Bhagavad Vidhi school and your school? So this teacher says, well, the whole difference is, in Bhagavad Vidhi, the whole focus was on nourishing emotions and purifying the attitude. All activities were aimed towards that. People were doing that. But people who have no idea of emotions, who are very new, and no idea of what is service attitude, they come to this school, Pancharatrik Vedi, and they follow this. And then, so they take some crash course like this here, and then they keep on following this, and then they enter Bhagavat Vedi. Then we send them to that school. So we'll talk about that later, the teacher says, but the whole point is, you begin from here, Pancharatrik Vidhi. So he says, then what is this? So he says, Pancharatrik Vidhi are for those people who have actually, no idea of what is emotions, or not a deep idea of what is emotions, and they have no idea what is service attitude. I mean to say, they have some idea, but they don't have a real focus or vision on emotions and service attitude. And they are pretty new, and they do these things. So for them, Pancharatrik Vedi is this. For new people, Pancharatrik Vedi is there. They come here, and the rules are there. You don't have to consider emotions or attitude. Just follow rules. That's all. You begin like this. Okay, somewhere you have to begin. So begin like this. These are detailed rules. So then the students ask, oh my God, who made all these rules? These are very impressive. So that teacher says, oh, okay, fine. There was a big teacher whose name was Narad Muni. And he made these rules. And it has been coming down through tradition. In fact, we know the Pancharatrik system is initiated by Narad Muni. It was handed by Narad Muni to Rishis. And then the system of temple worship. Now, here's the point. Not deity worship, temple worship. Deity worship doesn't have external rules. they are just offering flowers and some food and at any time, and they're trying to culture their emotions by looking at that form and an offering. But here in temple worship, there are rules involved. There's a deity, there's a place, there is a pure place, time, circumstance. These things are included in that temple worship. So you can start doing. Come on, you can join, and these are the rules, and we will give you a service, and then slowly you can start doing all the services in rotation wise, and that's all, and then you'll be trained. So then he says, oh, it's cool, it's nice. And that Panchratrik Vidhi, so he says, but then what about Bhagavat Vidhi? I'm not, and when am I going to supposed to go to that school? So the teacher says, well, it's not that after 10 years you're going to that school. The whole idea is you take a crash course here. You come here, you start doing temple worship, you start following rules, and simultaneously he will invite a guest teacher from that Bhagavad school. Now, so you're not going to enter that school now. You're not eligible to take admission in that school. You have to spend some time in this school, in Panchratri Vidhi school. You have to spend time here, at least 10 years. And then we will send you to that school if we think you're qualified. But here, we will invite guest teachers from the school nearby, from that Bhagavad Vidhi school. And they will give you lectures on Bhagavad Vidhi. And you will also start practicing some limbs of Bhagavad Vidhi, like Shravanam and Kirtanam. You will practice. But more of your focus is on Panchratrik Vidhi, on temple worship. You should be doing this. And then slowly you also include Bhagavad Vidhi in your life. You also start chanting and hearing. And there will be guest lectures and they will train you. So then he asks, okay, so then I have to combine both of them, it seems, Bhagavad Vidhi and Panchratrik Vidhi. So the teacher says, yeah, precisely, that's what I'm talking. But so you have to combine both, but you can't take admission in that school. Still you are in this school, Panchratrik Vidhi. And he says, well, if I have to do in combined way, I can always go in that school and then come in this school. I can go and take lectures there, then I can come and lecture there, and then I can take a home outside and stay there. So well, the teacher says, it can be done, but that's not a good way because you have to stay with devotees and in the community. Better you stay in this school, Panchratrik Vidhi. But you combine both. So then he says, it doesn't seem good, you know. I mean to say, if I have to combine both, then why should I stay here and then invite a guest lecture? It seems funny to me. And then he says, okay, so I'll think over it. And then he goes, and then he's walking on the street, and then he finds another school. And the name of that school is, Vaidhi Bhakti. He says, what's this? Vaidhi Bhakti. What is this all about? And he goes inside, and then he sees there's a temple, people are doing temple worship. And then he also sees another thing, there are people also chanting and hearing and praying. And he says, this is funny. And then he thinks, and then he concludes, oh, this is a school where both things are followed simultaneously. So a teacher comes and he says, okay, welcome to our school. And he says, who are you? And he says, well, I've been to Bhagavad Vidhi school. They say, you're not qualified. To Panchratrik Vidhi, they say, hey, you follow this, but then we'll invite guest lecture from Bhagavad Vidhi. But in your school, it seems you're doing both of them. So Vaidhi Bhakti says, yeah, actually we're doing both. This is a revolution, actually. This is a new school started just 500 years back. And who started this? It was started by Lord Chaitanya. And he was a great teacher. Oh, sorry, 533 years back. And he was a great teacher and he started the school. Actually, he came to China. I don't know, I'm just making a story there. But just for a story's sake, he came to China. I'm telling you. He came to China and then he instructed us. Or we went to India, we were Chinese and we met him and we took instructions. And he said, it's a revolution and we're starting another school, Vaidhi Bhakti. and you go and start in your China and we open the school, you know what, we like this 400 years back as a school and we open this. And the uniqueness of the school is we have combined both Bhagavad Vedi and Panchratri Vedi. That's the uniqueness of the school. We've combined. So it's a very powerful process. It's not just Panchratri Vedi, it's not just Bhagavad Vedi. It's not just for new people, it's not just for very advanced people who have already developed emotions. It is a combined process for all of them. For all of the people, for new, for advanced, for super advanced, it is available to everyone. That's this beauty of this school, Vaidhi Bhakti. So he says, come on, this is beautiful, and I would like to join this school. So the teacher says, yeah, you join. So you follow both processes simultaneously in our school. You do temple worship, and then simultaneously, so you follow Panchratri Vedi, and simultaneously, you also chant and hear and pray, and if you want, you can also do Shaligram worship as a part of Bhagavad Vedi. So both of them you combine. And how to combine, we will tell you. No problem. We will tell you how to do that. You combine both. Now one thing. Now you see, Panchratri Vedi was all about external things. The teacher says, you see the point, Bhagavad Vedi was something internal. Everything external they were doing, it was to nourish internal emotions and purify attitude. And in Panchratri system, you don't need emotions and you don't need attitude. You just simply need to follow rules and regulations. That is external. That is external rituals. Panchratri Vedi is teaching you external rituals. But here in our system, we follow both external and internal. And there's an advantage of this. So that student asks, what's the advantage? Why did you bring this revolution of combining both Bhagavad Vedi and Panchratri Vedi? And the teacher says, come on, that's a point there. We opened the school of Vaidhi Bhakti. We were instructed by Mahaprabhu because people who were in Panchratri Vedi school, so we have been going to that school for many years, and we saw that people who were studying in Panchratri Vedi school, that's nice, they were following externals, but they were trapped in rituals, external rules and regulations, and they were not advancing. We saw that. And they were becoming egoistic. We are following so many things. And people who were in Bhagavad Vedi, only Bhagavad Vedi school, we were going, people were nice, people were actually having emotions and attitude, but we found that they were becoming more or sentimental. They were not actually grounded in philosophy, and more in actions. They were actually lost in sentiments and emotions. And they were not grounded really in some practical things. So we found to follow them independently, there is a problem. Of course, people who are very advanced in Bhagavad Vedi school, they were very nice. They were, of course, very nice. The teacher said they were very nice. But at large, many students who were there, they were having problems. So we thought that we will combine both of them. And that combination and then combined process, that internal, external, both. External rituals will help internal emotions to nourish and also safeguard internal emotions. And internal emotions will help to follow external rituals with a lot of sentiments and emotions. So it will work both ways. And that's very nice. So we combine and it's very successful. That's the whole success. That's the only successful process we found. And that is what Narad Muni has done. That's this verse all about. That's what I'm talking about. That's this verse is all about. Prabhupada is saying there are two different processes. And this Panchratri Vedi was introduced by Narad Muni. Narad Muni also introduced Bhagavad Vedi because he is one of the Acharya of Bhagavad Vedi. He is Mahabhagavat also. And Mahaprabhu came and combined both of them. Ramanuja, Madhva, they focused more on Panchratri Vedi. Of course, Ramanuja and Madhva are Panchratri Vedi school, but they were having, but they were inviting guest lectures from Bhagavad Vedi school. So that's how their system works. Their whole focus is on Panchratri Vedi. But Bhagavad Vedi is, they are following that, but not explicitly. But within our school, So in Vallabhacharya school, so Vallabhacharya school is just Bhagavad Gita school. And so everybody comes, he just goes in Bhagavad Gita school, and then there's a problem. New people cannot go there, they can't understand what's happening, and then they become sentimental and emotional, that's all. Some people can't figure out, they become mad. So Vallabhacharya is Bhagavad Gita school, and Ramanuja Madhava, that is Panchratrik school, Panchratrik Vidhi school, and Nimbarka is also Panchratrik Vidhi. And our Mahaprabhu is the third school in China, which is student band, that is Vedi Bhakti school, which combines both Panchratrik system and Bhagavad Gita. Panchratrik Vidhi, Bhagavad Vidhi, it combines both of them. That is the school about Vedi Bhakti. Vedi Bhakti, that is our process. And then when you advance in the school, when you become advanced devotee, then from Vedi Bhakti, then you go to next level of this Vedi Bhakti school, which is actually Raghunuga Bhakti. And then you attain love of God. So that's how it goes. That is our process. That is our Gaudiya Vaishnava school, Vedi Bhakti. And Mahaprabhu invited everybody in the school. So Prabhupada is talking about all these things in this purport. And Vidur is like recommending this, actually. And we find in present context, I mean, to say, I was talking that there's a problem going on in present context. Even in our institution, of course, in our institution, we follow both Panchratrik Vidhi and Vedi and Bhagavad Vidhi. Of course, our school is Vedi Bhakti school. And then when you advance, there are advanced classes of Raghunuga Bhakti. That's within the school, but school is Vedi Bhakti or Gaudiya Vaishnavism. But then the whole point is devotees come in the school, but then you have to understand what exactly they are doing here. You're combining Panchratrik Vidhi and Bhagavad Vidhi. You're combining both external and internal. External should help nourish internal things, and internal things should refine external activities. So it goes both way around, and then this process works. But if you come in Vedi Bhakti school and if you're just involved in external temple worship, or you just go internal, just internal emotions and that, and no rules and regulations, then there's a big problem and there's a chaos there. So that's why I have this discussion about Vedi and Raghunuga. There are some problems happening in institutions. People come, they don't understand all these things. And then they are sentimental ideas, or they just into some process of worship, or some mere rules and regulations, and they miss the whole point. So that's the whole point of this verse. I think I've made my point clear there. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? And I'd like to stop. So you see, Prabhupada says there, Krishna conscious movement exists both processes simultaneously. Prabhupada makes this point. And thus enables one to make steady progress on the path of realization of supremacy. But Prabhupada makes this point. Our school, Krishna conscious movement, and that student was fortunate to go in that school. And why both processes were there, why that school of Panchratrik Vidhi and only Bhagavad Gita failed, we discussed. And this process is the best process, provided you know what the process is all about, what we are doing here, why these two processes are there, and why we are following two processes. These two processes are intricately combined. Otherwise, there will be a big problem there. So like that, okay. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions, any comments? There are many things I could have talked about, but I don't want to go in that. Some messy things, you know. There's a problem with... there are some other type of problems which I could have talked, but let's see.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for the wonderful class. I absolutely love the analogy of the schools and everything. I'm just wondering, like, I'm connecting this to like Bhakti Samrat Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, where, you know, they talk about Vaidhi Sadhana and Vaidhi Raganuga Bhakti. So in terms of this, like, you know, Vaidhi Sadhana, like, we are practicing Vaidhi Sadhana, and then the difference, like, basically the difference would be Vaidhi Raganuga would be more on the Bhagavat path?
No. It is, you see the point, Vedi Sadhana, Vedi Raghunuga, they combine both of them. I mean to say even Raghunaga Bhakti. Now that's a whole point because generally people say because when you go to Radhi Raghunaga Bhakti, of course you can say in one thing in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. No, actually you can't say because there's a problem. Because people say in Vaidhi Raghunaga Bhakti we are focusing more on Bhagavat Vidhi and less on Panchratra. Again, there's a whole problem in that because if we start doing that, then that was a whole point of actually Appa Sampradayas. Because Appa Sampradayas, then they said, okay, Vaidhi Bhakti is over, now we're Raghunaga Bhakti and we don't have to follow Panchratric process, not focus on that, or maybe leave that and just follow Bhagavat Vidhi. And let's switch the school from Vaidhi Bhakti to Bhagavat Vidhi. But we can't do that. We are always in Vaidhi Bhakti. And Vaidhi Bhakti, Sadhana, Raghunoga, both processes are important for us. Of course, you can say one thing. Of course, both processes are important. Important, but at the same time, you can say one thing. As a process, we follow both till the end. Both Panchratri and Bhagavat. Equally, we don't reject any point of that at any point of our life. But at the same time, what is happening is as a principle in Vaidhi Sadhana, a devotee because he has not much idea of emotions and attitude, so naturally he's focused on external rules and regulations. But as he advances, as he cultures emotions. He gets an idea of emotions and attitude. Naturally, his focus is on internal thing. But what happens in sadhana? In Vaidhi sadhana, the devotee is focusing on external. In Vaidhi Raghunoga, he is using external things to nourish internal emotions. He's not leaving Panchratric Vidhi. Now he's expert in using those things to nourish internal emotions and attitude. And that's the whole point. The focus is on both in Raghunoga. In Vaidhi, the focus is on one because you don't have any idea of emotions and attitude there. But as that increases, we develop the art of using that. And that is uniqueness of our Sampradaya. Because if you say in Vaidhi Raghunoga, focus is more on Bhagavad Vidhi, then there's a whole problem there because then that means our focus on Panchratri Vidhi is less, on rules and regulations are less, but then there's a whole problem. No. We don't do that because in Raghunaga we appreciate Panchratrik Vidhi more than the people who are in Panchratrik Vidhi school. We are able to do that. And even more, so people who are in Bhagavad Vidhi school, they don't have a Panchratrik process. So they don't have anything. In Raghunaga Bhakti, we are able to appreciate both. That is Raghunaga Bhakti. But the difference is the Panchratrik Vidhi in Raghunaga Bhakti doesn't obstruct rag. It helps to nourish rag. So this is a very, very important, very technical, very important point. Otherwise, we'll slip into upper sampradayas or sahijyas, and that's the whole problem in those sampradayas. That's how it goes. Is it okay? Clear?
Yeah, Prabhuji, just a quick side question. I've been hearing your NOI series on YouTube. Do you have an NOD series also uploaded?
NOD series, NOD. No, I didn't do. But probably, actually I was planning, I did one lecture. Yeah, I think in Charlotte I did one lecture, but it was so deep and people got mad, so I stopped it. So... I was planning this year I'll come to America and I'll do that. I want to do that, NOD. That'll be very nice. That'll be great.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
That's a wonderful class. Little different with analogies and schools and very beautiful explanation. So Prabhuji, this Bhagavat and Pancharatrik, it goes side by side, aiding each other. But in a sadhana bhakti, is there a thing that something is more important than the other, all the rules and all the things that we have to do?
No, in sadhana bhakti, Bhagavat vidhi is actually aiding Panchratrik vidhi. Because that's natural, I mean to say, because you don't have any emotions, isn't it? In sadhana bhakti, emotions, we are trying to still figure out what do we mean by emotions for Lord Krishna. We are trying to still figure out what do we mean by attitude. Attitude we have a little bit here. So through this attitude and whatever emotions we have, we are following Bhagavad Vidhi, but that Bhagavad Vidhi is actually aiding Panchratrik Vidhi. That Bhagavad Vidhi is aiding how we are chanting, we are hearing, and then we feel enthusiasm to get up for Mangal Arati, isn't it? And then we feel enthusiasm to take participate in temple activities, in various kinds of services, and follow rules and regulations. Prabhupada says follow rules and regulations. But that energy we are getting from Bhagavad Vidhi, from chanting and hearing. So in that sense, Bhagavad Vidhi is aiding Panchratrik Vidhi here, helping us to follow Panchratrik Vidhi. And when we keep on following Panchratrik Vidhi, if we keep on following rules as it is, we don't break rules, and that energy is supplied by Bhagavad Vidhi, which is aiding us. So then slowly, by following these rules, we start developing emotions and attitude, and we start understanding what do we mean by attitude. And then slowly our focus shifts on emotions and attitude. We say, come on, oh, this is what I've been looking for inside me. And then the external rules and regulations, it starts aiding Bhagavad Vidhi. So now we are chanting and hearing. Now because we have developed emotions and attitude, when we're chanting and hearing, we are actually culturing our emotions and attitude. And whatever external procedures we are following, so by the time we come to this level, the rules and regulations, Panchratrik Vidhi, goes into a habit. It goes into a habit. Now you don't need extra energy to follow rules and regulations. Now after many years, you get a Mangal Arati spontaneously. It doesn't matter. You don't need energy for that. So it becomes very swabhavik, natural. But those rules and regulations now aid culturing our emotions. Now that whole shift has come to emotions, and that's a reverse. So that's what it happens. So in sadhana bhakti, it's Bhagavad Vidhi which is aiding Panchratrik. In Raganuga, it's Panchratrik Vidhi which is aiding Bhagavad Vidhi. But both are equally important. That's how it goes. But just a shift of aiding each other, that is happening there. That's all.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Rubji. One more question.
Hare Krishna.
Some of the devotees are called Mahabhagavat, and some of them are Bhagavat. So, is there any, what makes a devotee Mahabhagavat?
Actually, you see, Bhagavat are those who are devotees, pure devotees. Mahabhagavat are those who can actually preach also, who are actually great preachers in Bhagavad Vidhi, who are great acharyas in Bhagavad Vidhi school. So you can say the great teachers who set examples and who do something extraordinary, those are called Mahabhagavat. Actually, it's the same. It is like Rathi and Maharathi, isn't it? Like Maharath. So Rathi are those who can kill many soldiers, and Maharathi is those who can kill 100 Rathis in one time. So Bhagavat is devotees, pure devotees, and Mahabhagavat is who can actually guide Bhagavatas. They're so advanced. They can guide Bhagavat. So they are called Mahabhagavat. Narada Muni is one of them. And we know Narada Muni, he guided Prahlad, who is Bhagavat. Actually, Prahlad himself is a Mahabhagavat. Narada Muni is such a Mahabhagavat, he can even guide Mahabhagavat. That's how it goes. But this is how it goes. He guided Dhruva, he guided Prachetas, who became Bhagavatas. But then Narada Muni is Mahabhagavata. He can guide so many Bhagavatas. And those Bhagavatas, then they go on to become Mahabhagavata. Is it clear?
Yes, Prabhu. Beautiful. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
So in your lectures, you've been talking about the dictionary that has the word and the meanings, for the
the terms that you use. Has that book been published, Prabhuji? Has that dictionary come out?
Dictionary, well, I'm making it. So it's in the process. I mean to say it's not, it's in a very beginning process. I'm trying to do that. But by the time being it comes, what the solution you can... There is one dictionary, but that's in Bengali. So Vaishnav Abhidhan, that's so that was published by Bhakti Siddhanta. Vaishnav, Gaudiya Vaishnav Abhidhan, one of the disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta. So, but that's in Bengali. So, but you'll not be able to get it. So,
Okay, Prabhuji, maybe, you know, can your book supplement, you know, instead of dictionary at that point, maybe if we can get some books, would you suggest buying that book that could help us? I mean...
Or to see the words and word meanings?
No. In general, understand some terms, understand. I know you have the crazy or the craziest, some 2-3 books that you suggested that, you know, we could look into it. But yeah, instead of the dictionary, do you think we could buy those books and maybe understand little bit?
Yeah, actually, you know what? Yeah, of course, I have that book, Crazy Ideas. Something is there. Yeah, of course, in Crazy Ideas, I've explained many of these terms. Panchratrik, Bhagavat, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, many of these terms I've explained. Actually, in that book, I've dealt with terms in Crazy Ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And then this book is The Mighty Efforts. Mighty Efforts, I've been editing. So this year, I'll bring to America. Of course, that's there in Amazon also, so you can always look. So in that also, I've defined terms. What is attitude? What is love? What is emotions? And all these things. So that book you can probably see. And then there is one book, probably you can get it on net. There is one book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu, if you want to read that. So there is Sindhu Bindu.
Yeah,
probably in ISKCON Desire, somewhere you'll get it. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu, that's written by Bhishma Chakravarti Thakur. That is a very small book and it defines terms.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you can also look on that. So these three books I can suggest at this point of time. Others I have to look
into. Prabhuji, what is your schedule for this year? Like, when are you coming to the US?
Well, again, August 10th or something like that, as usual.
August 10th.
And
okay.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for the wonderful
Who is this?
Prabhuji, this is Radhika from Sacramento. I called you last week from California.
Oh, from, okay, from Sacramento. Okay, fine.
Yeah, when you come here to the Sacramento area, we'll definitely try to come and attend the lecture.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, it'll be nice. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Was there someone else who wanted to ask?
No, it's okay, Mataji.
Okay, thank you. I have a couple questions. One is this, can you elaborate on what you mean by the word attitude? I know you said something about understanding concepts maybe or thoughts.
Well, actually, attitude means why and how. So suppose you are chanting. Now, there are many questions. Why you are chanting? How to chant? Or how your chanting is going to bring proper results? So all these questions which are dealing with why and how of the process, that forms an attitude.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so therefore, you know, if you have the why and the how, and you're trying to cultivate sentiment, so I would imagine that the attitude incorporates the proper conceptions also toward this part of it. Vidhi, you know? And so, if all of that is in place, why would there be potential for sahajism?
Well, if
proper attitude is there,
that's,
you know,
the whole point for attitude. It doesn't come in one day. It takes years and years together. To actually, it comes, but then it has to condense and refine and become very sharp and pure. That takes years of practice. So if the person leaves Panchatrik Vidhi, then there's a whole possibility he will slip into sentimentalism and sahajism. It is, and it happened in our history, and it is happening now in our movement. That's the whole point. I want to talk about that, but I don't want to make things messy, so I didn't talk. But and our acharyas have warned about this, and that is why Mahaprabhu says combine both of them, and that is what happening. That is what is happening actually Vallabh Sampradaya. As I told you, Vallabh Sampradaya is Bhagavad Vidhi school. They don't really focus on Panchatrik Vidhi. It's not that, it's just Bhagavad Vidhi. So their whole Sampradaya is in chaos now.
Which Sampradaya is it?
So Vallabhacharya Sampradaya.
Many
devotees, many Gujaratis, it's mostly in Gujarat, many they are many females, and their whole system has become so sentimental now. They have practically lost, you know, their books even. It's such a state. But it happened over time. So we know things happen, and that is why both things have to be combined. It takes a lot of time to actually even understand what is attitude. I mean to say, I told you attitude means why and how. But then it takes a lot of time to actually imbibe why I am chanting, not just theoretically, but by the level of realization. And how to chant, that, I mean to say, it takes 7 to 8 years to even know how to chant. Otherwise, people are just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It doesn't come so easily. Even after 20 years, people can't figure out how to chant. Because their mind is going everywhere. So then, when you figure out how to chant and why to chant, then why your mind is going here and there, then that means you have not figured out. So that's why both things have to be combined. Otherwise, it doesn't happen like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Prabhu, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, first of all, for the very nice analogy and the beautiful explanation on these three concepts of Bhagavata Vidhi, Panchratrik Vidhi, and Vaidhi Bhakti. So my question, actually, I think you have partly answered it in the previous answers as you were discussing with other devotees. So the question was, when we are talking about this Bhagavata Vidhi, when you were giving this analogy of the Bhagavata Vidhi school, we say that it is more internalized, rather it is more on the, it's not more on the ritualistic level, rather it is more on the internal level. And then in Vaidhi Bhakti, we are trying to give equal importance to both, but of course as we advance, the focus changes. So my question is, during the when you gave the example of the Bhagavata Vidhi school, they are also doing the 9 processes of devotional service, and you also mentioned about Archanam. So does it mean that in the Bhagavata Vidhi school, the Archanam doesn't follow any Pancharatrik Vidhi at all? Is that how we understand that, or how do
Archanam is worship. Pancharatrik Vidhi is temple worship, and Archanam, there are no rules for deity worship. So I told you about Shaligram worship. Shaligram worship, traditionally, if you go to Sri Vaishnavas, they will say keep a Shaligram. Whenever you want, you can offer it some food, and so at least every day give a bath, and then you can keep yourself and travel with it. So there are no rules. There are no strict rules, and no elaborate system of temple worship. So there is no, like, for example, installation of a deity, and so many rules, regulations to do, and what, like this, like that, and flowers at a particular time, at a particular time. It's not like that. In Archanam is a simple thing. If you're in a forest, you just make a deity out of sand, and then you worship, and then you offer fruits and flowers, whatever you can get. And then you chant, and that's how it goes.
So can we, taking that, is it the same as what we do as deity worship at home?
No. Our deity worship is a part of Panchratri Vidhi. We are combining both. Our is temple worship plus Bhagavat Vidhi. So our deity worship at home, that is actually temple worship. That's not deity worship. That's not in that sense of Archana.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So our is, and then we have to follow the rules and regulations which are actually given by our Acharya and by the Bhakti. So in Act of Devotion, the whole rules and regulations, the obeisance, how do we behave in front of deities, like that. It's not. In fact, so that's why sometimes some of the acharyas in our temple, and even Prabhupada, sometimes he says, okay, to make things clear, because now you are asking these questions, so there's a scope of confusion there. So that is why Prabhupada sometimes says, okay, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, that's Bhagavad Vidhi, and then Arjanam, Vandanam, Dasyam. So first three limbs are Bhagavad Vidhi, and next six limbs are Panchratri Vidhi. He puts it like that.
Okay, yeah.
To make things more clear so that there's no scope of confusion. But if you really pinpoint, and if you really talk about that, because Prabhupada in this purport says there are nine processes of Bhagavad Vidhi, you see. So, but if you talk philosophically, okay, then this Archanam in Bhagavad Vidhi, that's a very different thing. But we are following temple worship, Panchanam Sringali. So there is a confusion of words here, but the concept has to be understood.
Right.
Is it clear?
Yes, since you gave that example of the Shaligram as well, I was just thinking there are so many rules, right, for the Shaligram when you worship. So, I mean, not many rules, but then at least some basic rules, like how we do home deity worship. So that's the reason I was equating the two. And
Actually, Shaligram is very open. Shaligram, you can worship through Panchratrik Vidhi also. Shaligram, you can worship through Bhagavat Vidhi also. Shaligram is like that. So what generally we do in ISKCON, we worship Shaligram by the process of Panchratri. So we have these rules and all these things. But the traveling sannyasis and saints in Sri Vaishnav Madhva, they just keep it and they just offer whenever they want. They just give a bath and like that it goes.
Right.
So that's it goes.
Okay. So, but I mean, I don't know why I'm catching on to this again, but I just wanted to know, even if we are, the standard is, like for example, you said about Shaligram, worship by Sri Vaishnavas and traveling sannyasis and all of them, but still they do follow what is given. I mean, of course, the standard is not the best, like how do you do Vigraha Aradhana in the deity worship in the temple, my question is, it's as per the guidelines given by, either the classical texts or the acharyas, right? It's not a kind of a mental concoction. That's where I'm getting to.
In traditionally, Vishri and Madhva, if you live in Mathas, and if you go, the instruction, the classical text says, if you're traveling, you don't have to do anything with Shaligram. That's all. Just the only thing is give it a bath. And at least, of course, you can't keep Shaligram on stool and mud. That you can't do. Of course, some basic cleanliness. But some baths any time and offer something. Whenever you would just offer anything. That's all. That is what text says, by the way.
Right.
For Shaligram.
But isn't that considered as Pancharatrik as long as we are following that text?
No. That is not Pancharatrik. This is given in Bhagavad Gita.
Okay.
She said by Bhagavad Vidhi, for people, sannyasis who are in Bhagavad Vidhi there, who have actually crossed Panchratri Vidhi. So in Madhva and Ramana also there are so after sannyas then they cross Panchratri Vidhi and they just go into Bhagavad Vidhi and then they become dasas there. You see Purandar Das and all these Kanaka Das, they go into the Rakshas. So then they go into the other, and then they say, and then the Bhagavad Vidhi says, okay, take a shaligram, if you want, put it and offer something, because anyway you have to offer, but even if you don't have shaligram, you can just offer it in the mind, you can offer to the sky, and for people in Bhagavad Vidhi, you can offer to holy name. Or if you have a shaligram, you just take bath, and this is a system by Bhagavad Vidhi. Or shaligram. Mm. But in Panchatri Vedi, it is con we worship shaligram by Panchatri. We don't follow whatever rules we follow.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much for, actually this was such a nice revelation, very beautiful class and so much classification, so beautifully done. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna,
Prabhuji, very, very beautiful class. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class and nice question and question. Is there anybody having any more questions or comments for Prabhuji?
Yes, Hare Krishna. I just want to make sure that I have these things clear. So, in Bhagavad Vidhi, the temple worship in that path is less relaxed in terms of rules and regulations than Panchratri Vidhi.
In Bhagavad Vidhi, we don't have a temple worship. There is no temple.
Okay.
There is just deity. That's the whole idea.
Okay. Okay, but in Vaidhi Vidhi, right? The temple worship there, is it less relaxed than in Panchratri, or is it the same?
No, it's the same.
It's the same?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I thought there was some part in your talk where you were describing that there was, in some path, it was less relaxed, the deity worship, than in Panchratri Vidhi.
Okay, I understand. You see the point, even in temple worship, there are two systems. So temple worship can be done either by Panchratri Vidhi, or it can be done by actually Vedic Vidhi, Vedic. So it's not Vaidhi, so it is Vedic Vidhi. So temple worship can be done by these two. So Panchratri Vidhi is relaxed in relationship to Vedic Vidhi. So Madhva Sampradaya, they follow actually Vedic Vidhi. It's very strict and very difficult to do. And Panchratri Vidhi, what we follow, the center of temple worship, that's little relaxed in comparison to Vedic process.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for that also.
Mm-hmm. Okay then. Let's start this.
Okay, Prabhuji, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Prabhuji, once again for the beautiful session. Let us offer obeisances to the all the Vaishnavas and Prabhuji. Vancha kalpa tarobhyasya kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Ananda koti vaishnavrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Please bless Keshavananda Prabhuji ki jai.